Native Solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nicolau. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nicolau, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this March the 16th on the West Coast, now March the 17th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and appreciate you helping us get the truth around the world, especially over the airwaves. Well, there's a lot of posturing going on between governments, and we're getting reports about what's happening in Japan, what's happening with an anticipated radioactive cloud, and the impact that that's going to have on people in the United States. Everybody's freaking out and buying up all the potassium iodide. And is it more fear-mongering? Well, we're going to get into that because I think there's an aspect of what's going on that you'll find very interesting. We're going to bring tonight's guest on board. We have these experiences, but we have things going on a worldwide scale that have a pattern. And I had decided, my guest tonight doesn't even know we're going to talk about this yet, but I had decided that it was worth talking about these false flag events, these events that appear to be real. There are what appear to be natural forces at work, but they're manipulated. And we're going to get into that and reference another synchronicity, because I received an email which alluded to the fact that there is such an event going on in Canada, a leak that dumped thousands of gallons of water from a nuclear reactor into another body of water. So we have listeners out there paying attention. And then I got another email from a guest I had scheduled tonight. Mr. Ken Adachi will be unable to be with us tonight, but he wanted to make sure that I mentioned an article, which we will after we bring on our second guest, whose work is also featured on Ken Adachi's site, educate-yourself.org. And he himself is an intuitive and an essayist, and becoming a rather frequent guest here on Evident Footprints. And I welcome again back to the show, Mr. Zurnova Star Livingstone.
Zurnova Star Livingstone, yes.
ZSL, or or how about ZS? How you doing?
Sure. I'm doing fine. Been an exciting few days here. I've been on the internet quite a bit, actually trying to calm people down and get them thinking correctly or pointing them the right way to consider what is actually happening here. Yeah. Some of the things I've said to them scare them, but for the most, I'm saying that there's no radiation threat from what I've seen in Japan for North America at all. The whole thing about a cloud coming over the jet stream and about within the week is a total fabrication, because all the radiation is at ground level. It's not going to get up to 33,000 feet to get into the jet stream in the first place. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a mixing up of information regarding atomic power. Mm-hmm. Or you get contamination of the jet stream from an A-bomb blast or an H-bomb blast, where the chimney effect of the mushroom cloud puts the fallout into the stratosphere. This has not happened. Mm-hmm. There's no. It's probably most of the radiation has probably drifted over the parking lots. It's probable that most of all the uranium is still in the buildings, mm-hmm. and it's just the cesium and iodine and tritium, which is an isotope of hydrogen produced in the nuclear reaction, which have escaped.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what I do, ZS, and not to interrupt you, but I just want to throw this out there for you. They lie to us about everything, so why would they suddenly be telling us the truth? especially when the goal is to create all this fear. Your comment.
The fear is to keep the frequency down to their parasitic entities, and they're feeding off of the fear, and they use that fear to create further disasters. And the more people can stay in their own space and stay without fear, the less power is given, is surrendered to them, and the less the whole scenario goes kaput.
It's a sort of covert psychic attack in a way, isn't it? In other words, when people experience fear and their focus is on the fear and they're searching for answers, but they're really magnifying the fear, amplifying it as time goes on, they're really overreacting in a way that they're actually giving up life force.
Yes, they are.
And illness sets in, or weakness, and all the aches and pains that people get when they're not feeling well. So it has that impact. And then we don't even stop to think, wait a minute, they lie to us about everything. Why would they be telling us the truth about that?
Well, they better start telling the truth. They've created so much cause and effect on their own heads that when the truth does finally come out, it's not going to be pleasant for them. If truth does come out.
Yes. Now, I mentioned getting an article or notice of an article, and I want to encourage people not to click off the page, but if you want to go to a website and read this, I encourage you to go to and grab your pen and paper or open up a notepad on your computer screen. Write this down, educate-yourself.org/ say that 20 times real fast. The letters CN, again, / Japan Earthquake Manufactured 12, the digits, 1, 2, 12, MAR11.SHTML. One more time, educate-yourself.org/CN/ Japan Quake Manufactured 12 MAR11.SHTML. There's an article there that talks about the occultism, the numerology, the synchronicities, and quite a bit more information there. We're not asking you to believe anything, but certainly go there and read an article that Ken posted up there. There are some links to the work of Joe Viles. So I encourage you to do that. And we're going to talk about some other types of synchronicities. Z.S., do you want to comment on what I just reported? Or
I've read most of Joe Viles' reports until he prematurely expired in Perth, Australia, just a few years ago, after reporting that the the cause of the December 26, 2004 tsunami in the Indian Ocean off the coast of Sumatra was actually an H-bomb in a bathysphere in the trench off the west coast of Sumatra. And he pointed out that the original earthquake registered only 6.7, and then they kept saying, oh, it's bigger than that, 7 point something or other, and then it went to 8, and then they said it was somewhere around 9 on the Richter scale, though the evidence on was that it was a 6.7 on the first time it was posted on U.S. Geological Survey and other places that pick up and repeat what the U.S. Geological Survey reports. And Joe Viles also showed a videotape of Bani Ashte, a city in northern Sumatra, absolutely intact. And it's just more... it's a tropical shanty town, and it's not built to standards of Japan, and yet all the steel roofs were in place, and suddenly the tsunami water wave washes in and washes all the buildings down. And he points out that there was no 9.0 earthquake on Sumatra. It was within a few hundred miles of the epicenter. And what he essentially is saying is that they exploded a hydrogen bomb, which created a bubble of steam that scoured the whole trench, the subduction trench, and that on that ocean bottom there, and pushed the water up into a tsunami, which then spread out through the Indian Ocean to Thailand and to Sri Lanka, as well as Sumatra.
Mm-hmm. Now, ZS, for our listeners who aren't that familiar with you, when you read a story like this, you don't just take it at face value, do you?
No, I meditate on it. I sleep on it. I go into the dream state and look for the truth, look for what actually did happen. And so reading what Joe Viles had written, I did that, and I virtually confirmed everything that he said, or he had written in his essay. And then I followed back to find out who had ordered that event. And came back to two people who, two ex-presidents, George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton, who then got on TV and set up a fund to send money for the rebuilding of Thailand and Sri Lanka and Sumatra. Within a few weeks, they had raised $1 billion worldwide. And very little of that money ever made it to Thailand, Sri Lanka, or Sumatra. And they were the ones, that was like a payoff. That was payola. That was hush money. That was, it was just, you could see the fear in governments around the world that a couple of ex-presidents were that complicit in such a heinous act that they could post their face on the relief fund for something which they caused and expect to get money.
Which they kept. Yes.
I cringe, and that's the truth of the situation. It was ordered by those two ex-presidents during their time in office. So it goes back to the time period of 1988 through to the end of Clinton's term in 2001. Or 2000, where was it, 2000?
Mm-hmm. There are patterns here. What I wanted to bring up was something when I was looking at, thinking about the last false flag event that made major news, and that was the Tucson shooting.
Right.
And that happened on a date that was very significant numerologically, because it added up to 9/11. It's hidden within that date, the 8th of January, mm-hmm. being the 9, and then 2011 adding up to a 13. But
well, Ken told me that the judge was the actual target.
Yes.
And the congresswoman, mm-hmm.
I agree,
may have not been hit in.
Yes.
And so, but have you found any more information about why the judge was targeted?
Well, we can go into that, but I wanted to just use that as a reference because we had a serial shooting, right? More than one person was shot and killed or wounded. And all the evidence shows a mind control group, maybe two generations deep, maybe even more, but I can say definitely two generations of people who are all part of this program. And the shooter in Tucson was part of that. And it's run by the military. So taking that into account and then looking at the false flag event that came after it, which would be Japan. Well, we had another shooting prior to that. You remember the Fort Hood shooting?
Yes.
In fact, I wrote an article entitled Fort Hoodwinked, Newest False Flag Shooting Story Riddled with Holes. And I went into the background of Hassan, Nidal Hassan, who was on special presidential advisory committees.
Yeah. A very gifted psychologist, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he just happened to be the Arab in the area. So blame the Arab.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then we had the Gulf of Mexico event some months after that. Now the Hassan shooting occurred on November the 5th. You have an 11-5 and the year 2009. So you have another 11. 11-5-11. See, this number 11 keeps appearing in all of these things. You have the Japanese earthquake on 3-11. Mm-hmm. 11. Or 13, if you want to look at it that way. The Illuminati favorite number.
Yeah, they like those double numbers.
November is a date that they use to declare that certain alleged family members passed away. And I can go through a litany of them, but all you have to do is read my research. This number 11 keeps coming up over and over and over again. And to them, it's sort of a seal, if you will. You want to comment on that?
Yeah, in your research, you found a lot of people who were just cardboard cutouts, and they were born on particularly auspicious dates, and they died on particularly auspicious dates, and it's very likely that they were just artificial shells for spies coming into the States from Eastern Europe.
Or in some cases, these are people that didn't even exist.
Yeah, at all.
You see? They make up the names, they create the phony history, and, you know, how could McCain have had the lineage they claim when his alleged father and his alleged grandfather, who are related by blood, but not under the name McCain.
Yeah. Different spelling.
Yeah, yeah. They were out on ships, and they weren't in the military at that time. They were sailing on ships for the British,
right?
For a British line. So we have these repeated patterns of use of this number 11. It's it's a highly ritualistic number, and of course you and our listeners are quite aware of many of the other numerical combinations they use. But we had two major false flag events, and believe me, this is related to oil, and certainly it's related to cap and trade, and just more corruption. They just want to steal more money to build more of the same things, to keep us away from the energy solutions, which are really properly spoken about power production.
Japan is probably the most advanced country with a lot of corporations actually working with over-unity devices, magnetic motors. They're experimenting all sorts of different ways. They are of course, Honda came out with a 70 mile per gallon carburetor, and they couldn't sell it in North America. They could sell it in Japan, but they couldn't sell it here. And the there was reports on the internet, and there was also reports of actually having in production units that could be installed almost immediately from right from the factory in Japan to supply all the needs for a warehouse, or for so that that warehouse or that factory or that office building would be totally disconnected from the energy grid. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely incredible technology. And I believe that just like the 300-400 people invented the 100 mile per gallon carburetor over the last 100 years who were bought out or just disappeared.
Murdered.
Murdered, yes. That part of the this whole attack against Japan, because the earthquakes were artificially induced, the reactor buildings were bombed. There was nuclear bombs placed in them, because those weren't hydrogen explosions. Those were suitcase nukes inside the containment buildings. And it's an absolute miracle that all four cores surrounded in 7 inches of steel were not all exposed to air and burning, similar to the burning of the carbon blocks in the Chernobyl sabotage of 1986. When you read on the internet work by Dmitry Kalazov, you find that he writes that all the people who in the know in the nuclear industry in Russia know that the Chernobyl reactor in 1986 was sabotaged. There was a 5 to 10 ton tactical nuke placed right under the reactor that blew right straight through the nuke, or through the core, and lifted a 250 ton lid right off the building. A hydrogen explosion wouldn't do that. The plant was working absolutely normally right at the time that that happened. In that situation, because the bomb destroyed the core, there was no meltdown, which was parroted out in the media for a year up until this day, that there was a meltdown. When they placed the bomb wrong, the saboteurs actually caused the whole thing to shut down as the bomb detonated, scattering around the radioactive fuel onto the parking lots and the roofs of the neighboring buildings. The carbon blocks, which were hot to start with, ended up on the roof and on fire. And the 39 firefighters from the Ukraine who went and put out those carbon blocks fires are the ones who died of radiation exposure. They were the heroes in that situation. They didn't know how risky it was. They weren't told. And or maybe they had some of them had some idea, but they just went and did their job of putting the fire out.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you sense that there are workers in Japan that are going through that same scenario themselves?
I'm absolutely certain that the 60 workers are doing heroic work in face of insurmountable odds and sabotage upon sabotage upon sabotage against them. You can say the earthquake was a sabotage, the tsunami was a sabotage, and then the placement of tactical nukes or suitcase nukes within the containment buildings was definitely sabotage. I believe that the Japanese government are tracking down who did it. And they absolutely probably know who it is, but they can't broadcast that without causing probably further consequences, because they have 50 nuclear reactors through the country, and they're the same people might have had access to those as well. And I also believe that some of the American reactors on the West Coast have a similar sabotage. Mm-hmm. by corporate interests. It's corporate-driven greed.
Yes. It's always follow the money, that's for sure.
Of course, the bankers want their share too.
Yes. Now, there's an important thing here at issue, and that's petroleum and what is really going on with petroleum. And actually, I'm going to be on Dr. A. Truat's show tomorrow afternoon, and I will be discussing this in great detail. But Tesla, Nikola Tesla, actually had written work and drawn diagrams for devices that could be constructed, which would enable one to tap into the Earth's electromagnetic field to produce what we like to call free energy.
Well, it's not really free. It's actually energy that's already existing in the next dimension. Yeah. It's already there.
Yes, it's already there, of course. Yeah. But I'm saying popularly they like to call it that.
He called it radiant energy.
Yes. Over unity gain is the goal, to have actually more produced than is being taken in. Well, it's just being transformed. I mean, you're not either destroying or creating the energy. It's there. You're just transforming it for one purpose or another.
Well, the scientist you have on Friday's nights,
Jim Murray,
Jim Murray, in working with his condensers, it notices a cooling in the area around the condenser when electrical energy is actually building up in the condensers.
Mm-hmm.
So energy is actually coming from the space and through, it's actually through spiritual geometry, or it's through spiritual, it's a container in the next dimension that's bigger than the one in the third dimension.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a capacitor, likewise a capacitor in the fourth, which is working with the magnetic energy, which creates electrical energy in the capacitor in the third. So there's a net loss of energy in the fourth dimension, which is seen in the third dimension. And the third and fourth dimension totally dovetail together, just like magnetic and electrical energy dovetail.
Mm-hmm. And, what I want to say is that this technology that Tesla had discovered and was basically investigated by J.P. Morgan and a couple others who were interested in putting a stop to it because it would.
Well, Tesla actually lied to J.P. Morgan, knowing in developing a Wardenclyffe, which would broadcast that free energy on Long Island. He said it was a radio tower.
Mm-hmm.
But finally, asking for some money around 1907, he admitted what his plan was, to broadcast energy for free. And J.P. Morgan said, nope, can't meter that.
No.
Shut you down. Of course, all the money for Wardenclyffe actually came from J.P. Morgan. And so J.P. Morgan pulled the strings and shut it down.
Think how the Earth would be a different place had that been allowed to go on in so many positive ways, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The pollution will be far less. The environment, far less polluted. We would be not considering the secret space program, but we would actually consciously be on other planets. We'd be greeting our galactic brothers and sisters and working with them, because we would have the energy to lift off the planet.
Well, according to NASA a couple of weeks ago, it's just a worm that's sort of hitched a ride on a piece of meteorite. So
there's only worms out there in the rest of the universe?
That's what they say. They may have found life. Oh, my goodness.
No. Of course, when Tesla set up his 50 million volt, 50 foot diameter Tesla coil in Colorado Springs, in the mountains near Colorado Springs, and blew up the generator of the neighboring for Colorado Springs at that time, and he had to send his technicians to rewire the generator. He went and did his calculations and found out that he was definitely getting more energy out of the coil that was being put in through the generator. And you could see that light bulbs were lit for 20 miles around in all directions around Colorado Springs when that coil was on, 50 million volts. And you could do the calculations and power in, power out, and that. And so he was looking at he had very good hearing, and he could hear. You could actually hear lightning from a flash off in the horizon. Very, very clear hearing, and he was hearing the crackling energy all around when the coil. He'd drive around, or get a horse and carriage wherever it was available, and you could actually hear the effects of the coil miles across town.
Was it like let's say a piezoelectric
crackling event? Crackling. It was a crackling event, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was working into the earth. So he had to scratch his mind and think about it for a while. And finally, around 1902, he put it together in his lab in Manhattan. And what he had another coil in the lab, not 50 million volts, but very large. And then he put it, made it into like a vacuum tube where he was broadcasting a whole bunch of energy at a plate of steel, which is the same principle as an X-ray tube. And so he was on the other side of the steel, and all these electrons are hitting the slab of steel, and he could see a piece of paper on the far wall, the far side of the room, flutter. So he starts measuring for electron wind, and he measures for all sorts of other things, and he finds out that it's undefined according to physical law. And so he's actually thinking third, fourth, fifth dimensional. Of course, he was trained in Europe using the tensor equations that were developed by Maxwell, James Clerk Maxwell, which is not taught in electrical engineering or electrical science now, but gives a clue as to actually how things do work from the third to the fourth to the fifth dimension. Mm-hmm. And so he was aware of fourth dimensional effects.
Yes.
So all the things he was talking about, broadcasting energy, he could see and feel it. He could do the calculations. He had the tools.
Yes. Now, going back to this Japan event, I sense that it was sort of extortion or blackmail on an international scale.
That's what Benjamin Fulford...
When I pick up, this isn't something that I've read or heard from someone else, and I want you to comment on this, see how this resonates with you. They've made a major discovery. They were about to release a very advanced form of technology, and it may have been related to the auto industry, particularly considering what's been happening to Toyota. But I think it even goes beyond that. It was something to do with power production that was going to possibly make them less dependent on the petroleum industry, and maybe even the nuclear power industry.
Yeah, it would replace coal, natural gas, oil, and nuclear electrical generating stations. It's based, from what I've been able to piece together, it is a magnetic motor using neodymium magnets, rare earth magnets, which are extremely powerful little magnets.
Mm-hmm.
When you can concentrate the magnetic field into smaller units and have, you can then phase in third and third to fourth dimensional effects and get a roll mag effect where the magnets would feed onto each other. And actually the power is fourth dimensional coming through the magnetic field and creating electrical current in the third dimension, but is actually there's blueprints on the internet on the ROMAG. I actually did help build one and saw it operating with William Baumgartner, who just passed away a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. Now, something interesting, and I did some more research in this regard, and it kind of dovetails into the research of former Lieutenant Colonel in the U.S. Army, Tom Bearden, and his research. One has to be careful about what one reads when it gets out there. You know, what he may put out and how it may be edited is another story. We don't know unless we ask him verbatim if everything we read is his. Mm-hmm. But, because it's pretty deep stuff. and it also dovetails into this and into Tesla's work and even J.P. Morgan. So comment on what you just said, ZS, are you agreeing with me then that they were likely about to release some technology?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay.
And it would be totally revolutionary. It would totally change the oil economy, wipe it out.
Mm-hmm.
And it would... essentially bankrupt a lot of the Fortune 500 corporations, which are wholly owned subsidiaries of central banking interest.
Yes. Now, there's a link between Japan and Libya, and that link is through petroleum.
Yeah, they buy a lot.
But I'm not necessarily talking about the market, per se. I'm talking about who's behind this, ultimately. What is it that they're trying to hold on to and possibly even replicate? The status quo. And I think that was about to change. That's basically the point that I wanted to make.
Yes. You mentioned Thomas Bearden. Most of the articles I've written that I've read about him, he's talking about how far behind the USA is to Russia on scalar technology. And I laugh at that because I remember going to university in the 60s, but you go into the basement of the physics building or the electrical engineering building, and there would be a huge Tesla coil. And every single university in North America, maybe even the Western world, had a huge coil there. And they were doing all the basic work on, which would lead to the same thing as HARP and also the woodpecker signal out of the Soviet Union on a HARP-like facility, which they had in the 1970s there.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, through the 50s and 60s, you say, okay, the University of Ohio coil has generated 20 million volts at such and such of amperage and has created such and such of effects, and there's much research on this. And then you hear Alabama research and you hear of California or Caltech and then MIT. Then around 1960, that information just totally dried up.
Mm-hmm.
Just totally went away. And I believe that they had made some very fundamental discoveries in over-unity energy. Even in 1960, they had discovered what scalar waves are. They had rediscovered what scalar waves are.
Mm-hmm.
They knew the potential of it, but they, again, the status quo did not want that technology in the public domain.
Would you deem it correct to say that HARP is also involved in this?
I believe HARP is being used I had some email correspondence with an undergraduate, or maybe he was a graduate, but he was doing research with HARP, University of Anchorage. And I was asking, it was about the time when you had a blackout through the Midwest in your area. And it's from Ontario where a switch went and the whole Midwest went black. And that was about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people saying it was HARP related.
They blamed it on the Ohio Edison in Akron, Ohio.
A switch failed or something. But I was corresponding with this fellow who's actually had been running some experiments with HARP, and he was saying that the energy goes in all directions, and it's not focused from the grid there. You can do some slight focusing to send a beam towards the ionosphere.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you broadcast a million to a billion watts of power at the ionosphere, it causes it to rise and dissipate and break up. So your focused concave surface suddenly is gone as soon as you hit it with energy. And so all the images of the HARP causing a focused beam of energy coming down on the coast of Japan to cause an earthquake does not make sense.
Yes. I'm not implying that it does, but I think on some level, some of the events that we're witnessing.
But HARP was definitely on a full blast, a billion watts of power broadcasting at the time of the, what I believe is happening is that they're sending out, they're actually using HARP to see what is happening. It's like a diagnostic machine, their MRI for the whole planet. And they do have equipment to monitor those frequencies around the world. And so they're able to see the ore bodies, they see the oil pockets, they see the movement of the crust on the fault zone. So they're looking at what's happening with the nuclear bombs that are exploded in the crust. They're looking also at what I believe is a type of SDI technology called force beam maser, which is the actual weapon, which creates the concentrated amount of energy to cause a point source earthquake 10 to 25 kilometers underground, mm-hmm. maybe even deeper. So I don't see HARP as the actual weapon. I see it as a monitoring tool for those who are manipulating the weapon, whether it be a atomic bomb or hydrogen bomb or a force beam microwave maser.
Yes. Tom Bearden wrote about what's called fer de lance. And in French, that means iron of the spear, but it's referring to the tip of the spear or the lance.
Right.
Okay. But it has a double meaning also. It's a large and dangerous pit viper.
Yes.
Native to Central and South America.
And very poisonous.
Kind of interesting. See?
Yes.
And this also ties in with some of Tesla's work on let's call it by its name, the nonlinear oscillator shuttle circuit, or OSC theory. Mm-hmm. And he gets into electromagnetism and this idea of grading power from nature, virtually. You know, once you install the infrastructure, the power is free.
Yes.
You know, and he postulated this. I'm pretty sure it was around 1891.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly after 100 and almost 20 years or 120 years, they've
been a lot of that. There's been a lot of research done in secret throughout that time period, even there had to be a lot of scientists looking for it or witnessing it, especially with the development of the Philadelphia experiment in 1943, in order to have coils placed on the USS Estridge and cause it to disappear in the harbor, but actually move 40 years through into the future. There had to been research in the from Tesla on, maybe even work that Tesla was not aware of happening in secret laboratories funded by the people who
used to fund him.
Yeah.
And they took care of John Jacob Astor, didn't they, on the Titanic?
Yep, got rid of him.
You see, Tesla was staying in his hotel. And
he also got rid of Benjamin Fulford's grandfather in Boston. Benjamin Fulford is the one who was talking about sending the samurais out to get the Illuminati if they do anything nasty to Japan or China. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering if that is now happening. But his grandfather actually was a millionaire in Boston and was going to fund Tesla. And he died in an automobile accident around 1905.
Yeah, I also heard he was a very huge stockholder in a company, a major corporation, American corporation. I don't recall who it is at the moment, so I wouldn't want to speak out of turn on that issue. But I will look for that information because it ties into the same group. It ties into Wall Street, definitely.
Well, it's also interesting to consider that the nuclear reactors in Japan were built by General Electric, which is a company set up by J.P. Mm-hmm. Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, Edison had his own company, which is part of Con Edison, or it was producing its own equipment, and he was working with direct current in the 1880s. But he was wise enough to diversify his interests and making more money off phonographs than he ever did make off DC generators or power lines.
He was really pushing that too, contrary to Tesla.
And Tesla was doing AC and working with George Westinghouse and Westinghouse. And in the background, J.P. Morgan was manipulating the amount of capital into the marketplace and starved both Westinghouse and Edison at the same time, forcing Westinghouse to ask Tesla to tear up his contract or his royalty contract on alternating current.
And the story is that when they took down the Wardenclyffe Tower, that it was sold for scrap metal.
Yes.
But I bet you they just took it somewhere else and installed it.
Yes. Well, there's evidence that even these new CFL light bulbs are, if you turn them on for a second and then turn them off, they take a long time to go dark. If you're in a totally black room, you look at a CFL bulb for an hour afterward, it's still glowing. And it's very likely that there is a Wardenclyffe-like generator out there sent broadcasting energy, which is lighting up these CFLs. Compact fluorescent light bulbs.
I'm not all that impressed with those, I have to tell you.
Yeah, poison.
They're dangerous. They're toxic.
But also, all the original patents for fluorescent type light bulbs is Westinghouse. They're designed by Tesla. He was kind of working against the light bulb, Edison's light bulb. But Tesla realized that so there's mercury and poisons in and. There's a bit of karma on Tesla's shoulders on the CFL light bulb and all fluorescent tubes.
Mm-hmm.
There's poison in them.
Well, it could could be that his intention was to use it under certain circumstances, and it was just adapted to the existing technology because they saw how much money they could make by making everybody use it.
Yes.
You know? I don't know what else to say. That just seems to be, to me, the most logical reason why things end up being like they are after so much time, even when the solutions to these major problems that they keep telling us we have, while they want to ramp up the fear, are really just smoke and mirrors to hide the technology that they do have.
Right.
You got any thoughts on that beyond what you've already said? Will, thanks for playing.
Thanks for playing, yeah. Well, I just want to finish off the thought on the General Electric, which was just starting up in the time in 1880s, 1890s, when Westinghouse and Edison were fighting for who dominated the power distribution network. And due to the practicalities, AC was better than DC for long distribution, because you need really a lot thicker copper wires to transmit copper or DC current any great distance, and you have just a lot of power loss. But J.P. Morgan was manipulating things, and Westinghouse was starved for cash, and Edison was starved for cash, but General Electric had abundant cash, and it bought up the tried stealing the patents through court actions, wasn't able to break Tesla's patents, but was able to break enough patents in order to be able to produce electrical devices for a fraction of the royalty rights. And so the money, it's been a cash cow for the bankers ever since. J.P. Morgan was working for the Rothschilds.
Yes.
Rothschilds agent. And so it's very likely that that Fortune 500 corporation, one of the biggest in the world, is just being funneled the money from the United States to the British banks and to European banks.
Like the Federal Reserve.
Exactly. Just an earlier version of the Federal Reserve. And, of course, at that time also, J.P. Morgan was instrumental in setting up the Federal Reserve.
Exactly.
1913.
And so were the Rothschilds through the Warburgs that they sent over here.
Yeah.
So...
So the manipulation of the whole industrial technology of the United States, the explosion of technology of that time period, which could have led us to being on the moon in like 1920, was all submerged. It was stomped on. It was slowed down. And then they created World War One, they created World War Two. They brought technology, had to come in to fight the wars, and they said, "Oh, the technology was created by war." No, the technology was created 50 years earlier than. And it's just that finally they released it.
Yes. Well, ZS, we're about out of time, but this has been fascinating, and it gives somebody something to look into. What would you recommend to the average person that's been listening to mainstream media or maybe even some alternative media and is operating out of fear, being reactive instead of proactive? Give some suggestions.
Okay. You can read educateyourself.org, and of course, there's many fearful things on there. And in my articles, which I've put on there, I've tried to bring a bit of hope in a very dark situation to people. Mm-hmm. And my final comments, I say that there have been miracles upon miracles regarding this whole Japanese attack on Japan, because the actual amount of energy that was put into play the 300 earthquakes in 3 days, the amount of power put into individual earthquakes and whatever devices they're using to trigger them, they were actually aiming to cause a tsunami that would have hit the west coast of the United States at the same time, causing massive damage on the west coast, possibly knocking out the 7 nuclear plants on the coast and going through the same scenario as is happening in Japan now. And if they put out enough energy and there was enough earth movement under the ocean floor, that we should have had a 50 to 150 foot tsunami hit the western United States, which would have all but destroyed a lot, Seattle, Portland.
Was that, do you sense that that was to precipitate martial law?
Yes, yes. And it would have killed at least 10 million people outright, and then there would have been these the poisoning of America through 7 nuclear reactors melting down. And that did not happen. They had many nukes inside the reactor chambers, and only one of the core vessels was ruptured. A total miracle. I mean, something kept the tsunamis to only 6 feet high on the California coast, but of course they're 30, 40 feet high, maybe 50 feet high on the coast of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Something kept the energy level of the nukes away from the cores. It was like this far, but no further, that sort of thing. The energy was, there's an intercession of the divine hand showed itself.
You're saying something throttled it down or kept it from going over a certain threshold.
Right. And a 9.0 earthquake, 400 kilometers or about 250 miles from Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
should have knocked down a lot of buildings. That did not happen. They have, of course, got glass broken and cracked. Lots of other computers are trashed. And
That can happen from shaking, just 2 minutes of shaking.
2 minutes of shaking. But they did not have a major disaster in Tokyo, an absolute miracle.
Now, what do you attribute that to?
The amount of energy that it would take to stabilize the city of Tokyo, 16, 20 million people, all sky high rise. It's more energy than they put out in trying to create the earthquake. More energy stabilized Tokyo than was generated in the earthquake. It's miraculous. So there is
any idea where that came from? Would you like to speculate?
Well, I believe there's extraterrestrials, and also I believe there's higher dimensional beings, plus the elemental beings working to clean things up.
Mm-hmm.
Also, as an aspect of hope, I would like to say that the fear of radiation is overblown. The human body is able to transmute radiation. The human body is able to transmute silica into magnesium. It's able to transmute magnesium into iron. There's a whole bunch of different transmutations which the proteins and enzymes in the body do on a regular basis.
Now, I can see some people out there rubbing their hands together wondering how the radiation is transmuted. Could it be?
Okay. Well, the body will transmute it into elements that it needs and take the radiation out of it.
So there's still that chance. Like in the movie Dumb and Dumber.
Yes. Dumb and Dumber. You just don't go to fear. It's the fear that kills people. It's not the radiation. It's the fear. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people survived Hiroshima again, and other people in various situations got huge dosages of radiation and survived for a full lifetime.
Yeah,
with no cancer.
Well, yes, we got to say goodnight here, but I wanted to just ask you in closing. You have a piece coming out soon about all of this.
Yes. Not? Well, many things that I mentioned I'll put into the piece regarding the miracles that have happened in Japan.
Okay. There is a very interesting connection to a secret society in this story, and I'll be talking about that tomorrow with Dr. H. Uat on his show on the microeffect.com. It's not an accident. When I say this involves petroleum, it does. And it coincides with everything going on, especially in the Middle East as well. We seem to forget about that because we've had our attention diverted.
Yes.
By this new event. Study the numerology, do some research, folks, and you might come to the same conclusion. C.S., I want to thank you for being on the show tonight. And we have you planned to come back on Thursday the 24th, again with Ken. Hopefully he'll be with us then. And yeah.
I hope so too.
I want to encourage folks, as Z.S. said, go to educate-yourself.org. Can't remember if you're on the third or fourth line from the top there, or the links that Ken set up. But he usually has you under latest articles or latest interests, something like that.
Well, with the he's been posting these talks also, so my name's on quite a few lines there right now.
Yeah. So your work will be there as usual, and all your other articles are there, and I encourage people to take a look and see.
Okay.
You have been correct so many times. So I appreciate it. I wish you a good night, and look forward to seeing you on Evident Footprints next week.
Okay. Thank you.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's guest, Zernova Star Livingstone. ZSL, as we call them. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound tonight. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be herbalist Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And have a good night.